everyone, and welcome back to another Bite, where we rewatch the most innovative and intriguing pitches from Shark Tank. I'm Ariel, and I'm joined today by John.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
You know what they say. You can't eat your candle and have it too. Wait, I don't think that's right. Today, we're adding a dash of flavor and flair with an edible chocolate candle company. Will our founders get an investment to wick their business up a notch, or will they be left wishing? Stay tuned after this ad.
Much like the age-old question, to skinny jean or to not skinny jean, marketing strategies can come and go and come back again. Who can keep up? Luckily, there's HubSpot's 2024 State of Marketing Report. It's the all-in-one guide for what's happening this year and how marketers can best approach it all. The report covers everything from increasing awareness and engagement to ensuring privacy, boosting efficiency, and growth. Don't get caught behind the trends. Visit HubSpot.com/state-of-marketing to get your free copy of the report.
So today in the tank, we have Let Them Eat Candles, which is exactly what it sounds. Let Them Eat Candles is brought to us by founders Lori Sandler and Bob Michelson. They're asking for $250,000 for a 10% stake in their company, so $2.5 million valuation for an edible birthday candle solution. So solves the problem. No one likes wax on their cake. No one likes to wait for their child to, you know, blow out the candle and get spit everywhere. But this finally offers a solution for everyone to have an edible piece of cake. So add some chocolate on top of your chocolate cake for your child at their birthday party.
Yes.
The flame lasts for a minute, so specifically long enough to sing happy birthday. And they have a number of different flavors across milk, dark chocolate, and then different designs.
Yep.
So initial thoughts as a parent, what do you think about this, John?
Instead of waiting for your children to spit all over the candles, they have to move faster to spit all over the candles. And then everybody at the party gets to eat one of the candles that they spat all over, which I think is just really just what I'm looking for. I like getting sick every 4 weeks. It's just one of my favorite things about being a parent. And this seems like it would
super immunity.
Really help.
You get a super immunity.
Yeah, I'm going to live forever. I think this is a really cool product, actually. I think this is really cool. I think getting the wax on the cake kind of stinks. You got to pick it off. No one wants to eat the wax.
Yeah.
Everybody loves to lick the candles, but it's kind of nasty. You don't lick the candles?
No.
What do you do when you take the candle out of the cake?
Just take it out.
What? You just let all that frosting go to waste?
Yes.
You're sick.
It's because of the wax. It's not worth it. The wax to frosting ratio. It's just, I don't mess with it.
I would like to do a listener poll, and I might be shocked by this. Yeah. I believe you are in the 5% minority of people who do not lick the frosting off their candles after they pull them out.
I've never seen someone do that before.
You're kidding me. We might have to end this segment.
when Ariel's out. Dun-dun.
Do you lick the frosting? Yeah, of course. See?
No, I've never heard of this.
All right. Our producer, Ari, just hopped in and gave us the thumbs up. Ariel.
I'm an uncultured swine. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, I think it's a pretty cool product. I actually think kids would love it. I think the idea of being able to eat the candles is really cool. I think being able to eat surprising items is also really cool.
Yeah.
And they could ride off that, you know, like there's that whole trend, like, is it cake, where they like make objects and then
cut things
and they eat the cake. I mean, this is kind of like on that line. It's a surprise and delight to eat your candles.
Yeah.
And so I'm actually very in on this product. I think it's really cool. I think it's like shocking nobody's done it. There are definitely some challenges to this business. I'm really worried actually about their ability to distribute this product. Nobody's out searching for this. There's no inbound demand for edible chocolate candles, right? And so that means they have to get themselves into distribution locations where people are doing shopping for these things. It means they basically have to get into all these grocery stores and do all this stuff. The problem is, though, unlike wax, it's not a super stable product, right? There's risk of it melting. There's risk of it breaking. If the box gets dropped, all the candles break. Like, I bet the leakage on this product is actually really high, which I think is a challenge. I think shipping it in the mail is hard, because if it's shipping to Texas and it's in the back of a UPS truck, you're going to get just melted candles. So I think that's a real challenge for the product. I think it's actually a little tricky to like get into those spots of distribution. It's not like a big enough, meaningful enough product from a category or share perspective. I bet grocery stores sell a very, very small number of birthday candles every month.
Yeah.
It's a steady stream, but it's just not that large. And for them to put these in, they've got to take shelf space away from something else. And are they going to make more money on this or that? Yada, yada. So I do think there's some real challenges for them. But I think the product itself is cool. And I think that like I'd eat my candle.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't, but
I would try for this segment. I would definitely try. Now I would. Now I feel the pressure a little bit.
Sure.
You know, I think you're right. And as far as like their retail, you know, and they mentioned this too, like they got into Publix. They're testing in like a Kroger and Albertsons and Ahold and like the really big grocery chains, which I think is like huge kudos to our founders for being able to have such a, you know, shock and delight type product actually be within the shelf. So I guess it kind of comes down to like, do you feel that the retail continues to be the best space for them? Or do you think that they would have more success leaning into like the D2C? And maybe it is like the fun, is it cake type videos or like the shock and awe of like someone eating a candle off of their cake without any context to like surprise folks and get them intrigued in the product? Or do you think it's kind of a mixture of both?
I think they're going to have a hard time getting D2C distribution on this.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any inbound. I think the like surprise and delight is just not high enough. Mm. It's not that surprising or that delightful. And I think it's actually going to be a tough road for them on distribution. That'd be the thing I'd worry about the most. My assumption is that if they wanted to do D2C, they're going to have to make it mostly about paid.
Yeah.
And they're mostly going to have to distribute by doing ads, which is a tough road right now. Facebook's targeting algorithms have gotten a lot better in the last year. They've deployed AI in an extraordinary way to improve targeting such that it's helped mitigate a real problem that we were seeing for D2C brands around rising costs there and inability to target. But I still think it's going to be a really long road.
Yeah.
If I were them, though, I would probably say, hey, step one here is I'm going to be sure that I can manufacture these things in a way that, you know, they can be stable. And then I'm going to hire a person who is just really savvy at doing ad markets. And I'm going to just go out and sell as much of this as possible and see how far we get.
Yeah. Or just honestly license the technology to like a Crumble Cookies or Milk Cookies or like a bakery or something and like have that be like an add-on to like local bakery cakes. And maybe instead of focusing on the consumer,
get an edible
candle on top. So let's talk about the numbers a little bit. So it ranges from about $2.99, $3.99 a piece. Their wholesale cost is $1.69. The cost to make is 85 cents. So not the best margins.
Not the best margin. I mean, I think for chocolate candles, I think you could charge more.
Oh yeah.
I feel like I'd go to the grocery store to buy like a 12 pack of candles and it would be like $5 or something. You know what I mean? Like I have no idea what candles cost. I don't think people are like anchored on a price point. Like people kind of know what eggs cost. And then when they go and they look at eggs, they're like, ooh, boy, eggs are expensive right now.
Yeah. Cause it's a regular purchase.
Whereas like birthday candles, you're like, I have no idea what they cost. You're like, oh, $10 for birthday candles. Whew, okay, I guess, you know, like, so I'd probably crank the price up.
How much could one banana cost, Michael? $10? You know, sorry, it's just Arrested Development.
Sure. you know.
So total sales, though, I mean, they did pretty well with sales, about 2.3 million total. And then for this year, they're projected to 1 million, which
is amazing. It's totally amazing.
Yeah.
It's great. It's very surprising that they've done a lifetime sale of $2.3 million on a product that sells for like $3. But it seems like the market is more interested in this. And I think that's great. I think they should crank the price. I think they should continue to lean into their distro. I think they should do a bunch of advertising that's, you know, high ROI, you know, high ROAS, and just scale the business.
Yeah. I mean, I think Kevin has very similar thoughts too. So he was saying, you know, if you can get into those four other like grocers or like retailers that you're targeting, you know, this is something that you guys could probably have a lot of success with if you can prove out that proof of concept on shelf. Yeah. But his main thing is like, hey, this is going to be like a 2 to 3 year out kind of business. So I think for him, that was a little bit more of like a oof. I may not see my investment as immediate as other packaged products and goods. You know, I think Mark also said he doesn't think they can grow quickly enough with direct-to-consumer model. So he was out. But surprisingly, we had Barbara come in offering $250K for 25% of the business. And then you have Lori also coming in as well, offering $125K as a loan, $125K in cash, and then wants 20% in exchange. So, you know, between those two offers, I think it was a little bit of a greedy play in terms of equity, but I mean,
you know, I think given the fact that they are going to do $1 million in revenue this year and they've done 2.3 million lifetime, more than many other companies that come on Shark Tank, they have, you know, a case to make for $3 to $5 million valuation, maybe, or something like that. I guess it's a birthday candle, so maybe that's foolish. Maybe it's worth $1 million or $2 million, but, you know, Barbara basically offered $1 million valuation.
How much they make this year?
Yeah.
Just as a reminder.
Lori, a little less. And so, I mean, but it is hard because, you know, we talk a lot about revenue multiples. And I think in tech, you evaluate companies on revenue multiples. And the reason you do that is because a lot of tech, you are investing for future growth. Well, I mean, everything you're investing for future growth. But in tech, you're able to look at like, oh, for like software as a service, there's committed revenue to that business, right? They have subscription revenue. And so when you're investing, you invest at a higher multiple because you know there's a certain amount of revenue guaranteed. Whereas for a product like this, they could get pulled from Kroger or whatever and their sales would just crash and burn and that'd be it.
Right.
So I do think you end up, you know, valuing businesses like this more on a free cash flow basis as opposed to a like revenue multiple. But it's a little greedy, but also like, you know,
yeah.
I think for a product like this, maybe $1 million valuation is actually pretty fair.
A little more fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what kind of advice would you give to our founders?
I think I gave my advice. I would hire a savvy ads person and I would just sell a crap ton of chocolate candles on Facebook.
Yep. My struggle with that though is Facebook isn't that good at birthday related targeting. I think that's all like reliant on self-reported data. And that's like the one challenge of paid, right? Is like you have to meet your user when they have the highest intent or they're in the market looking and shopping for something. So I think that may be one of their challenges from like a paid perspective. I think their overall brand, I would love for them just to give it a little bit more love.
No, it's their brand doesn't matter.
Give it a little bit of boomer. Yes, it does.
No.
Yes, it's. With
it's
the
chocolate
old
candles.
Serif font on like a white background. It was giving something that came out of like the early 90s for like branding. I think they could just do a little refresh, a little bit of a like tiny bit of cleanup.
Sure. You want the logo to look a little bit more professional. I can buy that.
Yeah. A very minimalistic style. Have a child with a birthday candle.
$500 on TaskRabbit and you can get a new logo. Spend the rest of your money on retargeting people who are searching for birthday gifts.
And help with your packaging to make sure that your product stays cool from a logistics perspective.
Yeah, that too. That too.
That's our main advice.
Production for today's episode was brought to you by Ari DeZarma. Editing comes from Robert Hartwig and support from Alfred Schultz. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, or wherever you subscribe to the greatest podcasts ever. That does it for me. See you next week in the tank for another bite. I want to take a break to tell you about a podcast coming to the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. It's called The Next Wave, AI and the Future of Technology. It's hosted by Matt Wolf and Nathan Lands. AI technology is transforming the way we do business, and the media landscape is currently fragmented. The Next Wave is leading the pack on AI technology and how you can apply it to growing your business. Matt and Nathan are leading AI creators and your guiding light in the AI and technology frontier. Listen to The Next Wave wherever you get your podcasts.